today. Hanging on to your healing. Well, I got something, and I don't want to lose it, so I need to learn how to hang on to it. Let's look here in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. And it says, therefore, humble yourselves. A man told me one time, he's a preacher, sort of, and he said, humility's for the weak. God wants us to be strong. Well, God does want us to be strong. But people that have a poor understanding of humility will exercise boldness and the authority aspect with hardness and demands and have no success in that area. But watch this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, I've had people tell me this during this ministry. This is Sunday number 240 in this ministry. Today is service number 240, Sundays. And so on this 240th Sunday, I can tell you what has hurt this church and has hurt other churches. And I've had people tell me this, I won't submit to no one. That'll hurt you. Now watch this. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, or we can actually interchange the word promote you in due time. If you want promotion, learn to be humbled under the mighty hand of God and all that entails that we're going to talk about. Then the next part says, casting all your care, all worry, all concern, all anxiety, all stress upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober. In other words, be alert. Pay attention. Be vigilant, be steadfast, because your adversary, the devil, everybody say the devil. The devil's your adversary, folks. And the Bible says he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Wait till you see the Greek on this in just a little bit. Verse 9, resist him. Everybody say resist him. This is not a suggestion. This is not a if you feel like it. This is not a, well, I'm having a really bad day and I'm all depressed, so I'm just not going to do anything. No, this is a command from the Lord in His Word. Resist him, or resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings or afflictions are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So here in this passage, and we're going to look at this a couple of times today, maybe more, we see God's directive to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. This is God's directive, not just to one or two, not just to preachers, but to the entire church, worldwide, and for this church. And it gives us the idea of being submitted to God's authority, because God's authority extends from Him to a lot of folks, and we'll talk about that. Let me say this. If you think for a moment that, well, you know, people in leadership don't submit to anyone, you're mistaken. I submit to Faye, Pastor Faye, but my pastor, my personal pastor, is Dr. Larry Ollison in Osage Beach, who has been given the right and the anointing, the commission to speak into my life. And He'll tell me when I'm off track, and He'll commend me when I am on track. And so I appreciate that. So I want you to know that I am submitted to authority. Not just to God, but the authority that extends from God's throne. So as we are submitted to God, we are positioned for God's promises to work in our lives like they ought to. And when it comes to sickness, and that's what we've been talking about, it is vitally important to obey verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. But I'm going to show you today why that doesn't always work in some folks' lives. You interested in knowing why some things work and some things don't work? Well, we're going to find out today. I want you to know this, that whatever you're going through today, whatever physical issue, and I'll say this, that Brian Arnold came last night and he ministered to us in song and in word. And as he shared, you understand that he's a man with one leg and one arm that functions, and a wonderful piano player and singer. But did you notice that everybody in the building, whether you were aware of this or not, everybody who was here last night had some sort of physical issue. The Lord began to talk to me last night. And you could name their name and I can tell you what their physical issue is for the most part. Some with detail. Jesus cares about what you're going through. I want you to know that, first of all. But the only way He can help you is if you will submit to Him, resist the devil, and stand on the Word. So those are three things we need to do today. Submit to God, and submitting to God means His extended authority as well. Resist the devil, that is so vitally important. Don't just sit there and say, well, I'm submitted to God, everything's going to be all right. You know what someone told me? Someone told me once, we don't really have to resist the devil, we're just submitted to God, therefore that is resisting the devil. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says submit to God. Then there's a comma, and I realize that's the English translation. And then it says, resist the devil. And then it tells us he will flee from us, and we'll look at that in a little bit. But we are to stand on the promises of God's Word. So Peter tells us to stay alert in verse number 8 by saying, be sober, be vigilant, stay alert. Be consistent. How many know believers ought to be consistent? We're looking at a scripture here about being vigilant. We need to be consistent believers. That means don't take no guff from the enemy. It's all right that I said it that way. Just don't take nothing off of him. But if you sit there and do not resist him, you're taking his stuff. And I'm going to show you some stuff in scripture about that. So we've learned who our enemy is, our adversary, and that's the devil. And I want to tell you, beyond the devil being your adversary, you have no other adversary. I want you to understand that. Ephesians 6:12, which is not in your notes, tells us that we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in high places. But it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So if you can tell that someone today is alive, and they are indeed, maybe you might call them your thorn in the flesh. Well, God didn't send them to you, but understand this, it's not the person, it's the spirit operating behind the person. And so we need to be recognize that. Now, when the Bible, and I'm going to show you this today, when the Bible said your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, this word seeking is an important Greek word, zeteo, and it is the same word used in Matthew 6:33 that says seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And seek, according to Hebrew practices, means to worship. So how does our worship as a believer fit into the devil's seeking to devour? Well, here's the way it works. When the devil is walking around like a roaring lion, and keep in mind, he is not a roaring lion. He just acts like a roaring lion. You ever had to deal with a bully in school when you were growing up? I mean, a bully that just wants to pound on everybody and wants to be in charge and take advantage of folks. Well, the devil acts like a bully, but I want to let you know today that he is not. He's already been whipped, and Jesus whipped him bad. Hallelujah. And so it's important that we know that. But when it says that he is seeking whom he may devour, it means that the devil has made it his religious worship or his religious obsession to seek people out to devour them. He is obsessed with devouring people. That's his obsession. So I would say this, that the Bible says we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. In other words, be in faith all of the time. And the devil has a mission of accusation before the throne of God day and night. The Bible says that in Revelation 12, verse 10. Day and night he's before the throne of God. And he's accusing you of stuff that you didn't even do. Now some of it you did. And he saw it. And he's telling Jesus about it. You ever notice how some folks just run to a tattletale? That's the devil. He's a tattletale. He wants to go tell. And he wants to discredit you before your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Jesus loves you. And he won't stop loving you. Amen. Doesn't mean we ought to straighten up some stuff. It just means that he loves us unconditionally. So today we need to have a Christian obsession of worshiping Jesus. And make it our daily goal to spend time worshiping God. Amen. Spend time every day. You say, well, I don't have a lot of time. Then take the time that you have. Drop off something. Do something different. Change your routine. And spend time worshiping God. James 4 verse 7 and 8 says, therefore submit to God. So we hear this twice now. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Why is him drawing near to me secondary, and me drawing near to him first? It's because he's already trying to draw near to us. And our drawing near to him opens the door for him to come on through and be near to us. And then the scripture says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now remember, since Jesus fought and won the battle against the devil, here's the devil's position today. Not only is he a liar, but he is a toothless, clawless, defeated foe. That's the enemy that you face every day. So if you will resist him, he will flee. But here's some news, not necessarily good news, depending on how you look at it. If you do not resist him, he will not flee. So if the enemy's messing with you and you get all frantic, listen to me, and begin to fall apart, I want to tell you, the problem is you're not resisting the devil. Be submitted to God, resist the devil, and the Bible says he will flee. Now I want to ask you, do you believe the word of God today? Amen. It says he'll flee if you resist him. Praise the Lord. If we don't resist the devil, I have something pretty tough to share with you today. If you do not resist the devil, when you could, you are in fact submitted to Satan's will. Are you hearing this? You are submitted to Satan's will, the thing that the plan he's devised against you, as long as you will not resist him. So we want to resist him and stay submitted to God. Now, if submitted to God, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be submitted to other authorities. Look at Titus 3, verse 1. And I chose the New Century Version. There were so many great translations of this verse. It says, remind the believers to yield to the authority of rulers. That covers a lot of ground. And government leaders. I have heard people say, I will not be submitted to the government. Well, I want to tell you, it's a good idea to look at the Word of God and be obedient. It says, yield to the authority of rulers and government leaders to obey them, to be ready to do good. Now, I would say this, that this means could mean several things, but one of the things it means is we ought to obey the law. How many know there are laws in our land? And there are laws that says we go to work, they take taxes out, and you may not feel like that's fair, but that's the way it is, so pay your taxes. If you do work on the side and get cash, that's not to be pocketed. If you worked and earned a wage and it was cash that you were paid in, report that income and pay taxes. In other words, be obedient to those that have the authority over us. Well, let me remind you that all authorities come from God. No one has authority in this land unless their authority came from God. Even if the people's hearts are not good, their authority, their position of authority, still came from God. Now, that means that we're to be submitted to parents. If you ever rebelled against your parents, or you're in that position, and let me say this, if you are grown, married, got your own family, and your parents are still with you, honor them. Do you know that honoring your father and mother didn't cease just because you grew up? Amen. Honor them. You may not agree with them, but honor them. So be submitted to parents, to employers. I've heard people say, I hate my job. I hate those that are over me. You know what? Work and be faithful and be diligent and honor them and work as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, believe God for a different job if you can't get it worked out there. But don't go to work with a bad attitude. Is this all right this morning? Amen. Be submitted to governmental authorities and to spiritual authorities. This includes apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, elders, and etc. We should be submitted to those authorities. Now, one of the reasons why we have had a problem with that in the church is because authority has been abused. We've had many. I remember the days where it seemed like every preacher that went everywhere had a bodyguard and no one could touch them. And I'm so glad those days seem to be past. And now we can walk up and hug the neck of somebody like Kenneth Copeland. We can walk up and hug the neck of somebody like Terry Myers or Billy Brim or many of those. And thank God for their ministries. But we need to honor and be submitted. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, obey those who rule over you. See, we don't like that word rule. Somebody told me people hate the word obey and they hate the word rule. But I'm sorry, I can't scratch it out of your Bible. It'll still be under wherever you scratched. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as they must give account. Amen. Let me just say this, that it is almost without fail. I want to say 100%, but I'll cut myself some slack. Almost without fail that I pray for you every day. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm telling you what we ought to do as a body, pray for one another. Amen. But then extend our prayer beyond that to other pastors and leaders and churches and Christians in this city and around the world. And so we ought to hold up the body of Christ in prayer. You say, well, what if nobody knows about it? Well, here's how I feel about that. God knows about it. And if God knows about it, that's really all that matters. Praise the Lord. So when we do not submit to godly authority, we open the door for the enemy through the act of rebellion. You understand the opposite of submission is rebellion. How many know that wives ought to submit to husbands? Children ought to submit to parents. We know that husbands and wives ought to submit to one another in love, the Bible says. You say, well, there's not just one. No, there's many commands that we are given. And so we need to recognize the authority that we're under. Submitting to God is more than just regular church attendance or giving in the offering. Somebody said, well, I go to church and I give and I show up. That ought to be good enough. But are you submitted to God? And are you submitted to the authority in the house? Submitting to God is also called honoring God. And many times, believers do not hang on to their healing for a lot of reasons. There can be unforgiveness as a reason. There can be how you abuse your health can be a reason. So being rebellious to God's authority can be another reason. And it's because we try to avoid God's system of honoring His authority structure on the earth or in the church. Now, let me just show you this. The word submit, I don't remember if I put it in your notes or not, but the word submit means to be under obedience or to be under authority. That's what submit means. To be under obedience. Well, I don't like to obey. Well, you know, I'm just going to go right back to that other thing that God's got to be smarter than we are. I mean, somehow the man that inspired the book ought to be smarter than we are. And so submit means to be under obedience or to be under authority. Why is that so important? I remember many years ago, Dr. Oral Roberts wrote a book called A Prayer Covering. And we read that book when our children were still home. They were teenagers. And we prayed that prayer covering over our children as they went to school. We prayed that prayer covering over each other as we went to work. We prayed that prayer covering over everything. Well, you know, the reality is that when we submit to God and to God's authority, we're under this umbrella of protection. Why? Because I prayed God's protection of Psalm 91 every day? Not necessarily, although we ought to. But it's because we came under His umbrella of authority. We submitted to authority. Now, as we are obedient to God's Word, the word resist means to stand against. So I love standing against the enemy. I love standing against his lies. Sometimes there'll be some that'll slip through, but eventually we catch them and we stand against them. We resist him. You ever had a salesman come to your house? A door-to-door salesman? And had a very persuasive speech with a product you know that you didn't necessarily want or need, but it sounded good and it might have been beneficial. They're persuasive. I mean, very persuasive. We need to learn to resist. How many know sometimes the salesman don't take no for an answer? Sometimes the enemy doesn't want to take no for an answer. So when you stay submitted to God and resist the enemy, it doesn't matter if it's now or a little bit later, he's going to leave. That's what the Bible talks about with Jesus. Now, here's a a passage of Scripture that's not in your notes I want to remind you about. And that is in Matthew chapter 8. And it talks about the centurion who came to Jesus and said, "My servant is at home and he is sick. He's ill." The Scripture called it the palsy. And Jesus said instantly, he said, "I will come and heal him." You need to understand how willing Jesus is for you to have a miracle in your body. And you know what? The centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." He said, "But I tell you what, if you will speak a word only, my servant will be healed." He said, "For I am a man under authority, and I also have authority. When I speak to men, go they go, and come they come." And he understood authority, but he also understood being submitted to authority. And Jesus spoke a healing word, and the servant was healed. So it's important that we recall that passage. So what do you do when you begin to cave into things that are around you? What are you practicing in the privacy of your home? Honoring parents, honoring your spouse, submitting to one another, working together, cooperation. What do you do when friends are around who think it's not really that necessary to be submitted to God? You ever talk to anybody and think, "You know what, this church thing you're doing, you're just way too faithful. That's not necessary." You know that I've had people tell some of my partners, don't give money to them. It's not necessary. I'll tell you how necessary it is. It's necessary to be obedient to God, because that's an act of submission. And every time we resist the enemy, he flees. Now, what if you are binding the devil, coming against demons, and trying to cast them out in the name of Jesus, and you're still not gaining any ground physically or emotionally? What happens? Well, the first question I would ask is this: am I submitted to God? See, because the Bible didn't say first resist the devil. The first thing it said was submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. How many know God's got a divine order for things? First is being submitted to God. Amen. All right, let's look at 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 again. It says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Promotion comes from the Lord. As long as you're submitted under God's hand, promotion will come when it's time. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." So we have seen God's directive to submit to his authority structure. As we remain submitted to God, you position yourself for everything that God said belongs to you to come to you. So I want to tell you, I am working on this thing that when I speak, stuff move. And I know that it does in the spirit, but I want to see it manifest in the natural. So what I need to do then is learn that every single moment of my day, make sure I'm submitted to God. How is it being submitted to God? What does that mean? To his will? I know that we all have a will. Would anyone agree with me and say that we know we have a stubborn will? Sometimes our will gets stubborn. How is that? Because sometimes our will says, "That's what I want to do." And I've heard people say, "I don't care what God wants to do. This is what I want to do." Well, that's dangerous. It's not healthy. And so it's important that we remain submitted to God. We position ourselves for the blessing of God. Someone told me one time, there is nothing you can do to get out from under God's blessing. No matter what you do, blessing will come. That's not according to Scripture. That's not what the Bible says. You must position yourself for the blessing to come. Amen. And so we become empowered to cast our care upon Jesus when we're submitted to God. And we're speaking, if we don't do that, then we're just speaking religious words. Here's what I mean by that. An example. I'm going to the Lord every day and say, "Lord, I'm casting all my care on you. I resist the devil. He flees from me. But I'm not submitted. I'm rebelling." And so somehow that casting all the care on the Lord doesn't seem to work. And I'm still pressured and I'm still worried and I'm still frustrated. How many of you have had to fight to get that care cast over on the Lord? Do you know that's not the way it's supposed to work? When you say, "I cast all my care on you, Jesus, every worry, every concern, I'm not going to look at it again. I'm not going to be worried again. I'm not going to have any anxiety or frustration about it again." Do you understand it's supposed to work just like that? Well, if it doesn't, what's the problem? Go back to submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God, including God's authority structure, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's God's system of keeping you from having a nervous breakdown. How many of you want a nervous breakdown? Anybody want a nervous breakdown? Then I want to tell you, cast that stuff over on Jesus, and He'll take it, and you don't have to worry about it. All right, now let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. It's been a while since we've looked at this passage, but I want you to see these two verses here. When the evening had come, they brought to Him many. Everybody say many. Many who were demon-possessed. Now notice that it doesn't say God-possessed. It says demon-possessed. And He, Jesus, cast out the spirits with a word. He didn't put up a tent, although that's okay. He didn't call for a healing revival, although that's okay. But He didn't call for a prayer line and lay hands on folks, although that's okay. He spoke words to spirits and spirits ran away. Isn't that awesome? And the Bible said, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He uses the words infirmities and sicknesses in the plural form because there are many infirmities and many types of sicknesses that can come on the human body or in the human mind. And this quote is from Isaiah 53:4, and in the Hebrew language, sicknesses and infirmities have been translated many different ways, but what I have discovered is infirmities is translated disease and sicknesses is translated affliction. Now, some translate that as pain, and that's incorporated there. But disease and affliction. He took your disease and your affliction. Now, affliction comes in many forms. We call it sicknesses. When I went through what I went through, I refer to it with faith saying, you know, back when I was sick. I don't really like to get deep into that unless I'm testifying about the goodness of God. But let me just tell you that every type of infirmity, every type of thing the devil could possibly talk you into, Jesus took. Okay? Jesus took. Now I want you to think about that. Jesus took. He took them so you don't have to have them. So I talked to a man the other day who said he had been battling high blood pressure and the doctor had put him on medicine. And so he wanted God to do his part and he was willing to do his part. So he lost some weight. And now he doesn't have to take any medicine for high blood pressure. Do you know there's some things we can do to cooperate with God? You understand that there's some things you can do to cooperate with your leaders in the house of God. Cooperate with your husband and your wife. Cooperate. Folks, cooperate with one another. Cooperate with God and His authority. That may mean cooperate with your doctor because his authority or her authority came from God. I mean, I know there are difficult cases sometimes where the medical profession just about give up on you. They don't know what to do. I was in that place at one time. But I found out this in talking to different people, and you probably have too, that there are many people in the church who do not believe in supernatural power or supernatural healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it divine healing. And some folks don't believe it works that way anymore. I heard someone say, you know, we're better off just to go to heaven because then we'll be whole anyway. Well, that's a true statement that we'll be whole anyway. But Jesus didn't. And you know why there won't be any sickness in heaven? Because Jesus defeated it on the earth. It can't get in heaven. That's why I love praying Matthew 6 where Jesus said, give me the scripture. The lady we heard on the video prayed over her mom. Our Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I've laid or set and prayed that prayer many times. I've prayed, Lord, Your kingdom come. The Bible said the kingdom of God is within us. Amen. Kingdom come, manifest in my body, because out of my spirit, my body needs a manifestation of some kind. My emotions needs a manifestation of some kind. And so we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will, Lord. Now, how many know this, that His will is not sickness? Amen. So your will be done on earth in me. How many know our bodies came from the earth? From dust we came, to dust we'll return. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7. And but the Bible says the Spirit will return to God who gave it. Amen. But we came from dust. So Lord, we need your kingdom to come, your will to be done on earth. On earth, just like it is in heaven. And since there's no sickness in heaven, there shouldn't be any sickness on the earth. Come on. Hallelujah. And so many who have once believed God for a healing, here's what happens. I believed God for a healing and nothing happened. I didn't get that instant manifestation, so it must not work anymore. You ever heard anybody say that? I've heard people say that. I've also seen folks who got a healing and the next day they had the same symptoms back and they believed, I never got healed in the first place. Do you know why we're to fight the fight of faith? You know what Paul said about the fight of faith? He said, it's a good fight of faith. It's a good fight of faith. What is a good fight of faith? It's a fight worth fighting. See, if you don't fight, the devil will take, when he has taken an inch that you've given him, he will go ahead and take a mile, as they say. So that's why it's important to resist him. And so some have not had that instant manifestation and gave up in their faith. But know this, that we should never let our experiences determine whether the Word of God is true or not. So I prayed, I felt a touch, but the next day all the symptoms were back. What do I do about that? I'm not going to allow that experience to detour me from what God's Word says. So it's important not only to hold on to the promises of God for receiving our healing, but it's also important to hold on to the healing that we have already received by faith. All right, now, when it comes to sickness, it's vitally important to be obedient to the Word of God. And again, verse 7 said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. It says that previously, submit to God. So we need to be submitted to Him. Now, let me ask you this, or let me tell you this. When you are worrying about getting your healing, do you know that there are people who believe in healing but worry about when the healing is going to manifest? I want you to think about this. Some folks believe in divine healing, but worry about once they pray. You know, the Bible says in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Believe you receive them. Take your focus off of the manifestation and believe the Word of God. Believe you receive them and you will have them. How long do I need to believe I receive it till the manifestation comes? Now, continue to do some maintenance every day, but you believe you receive it. So when you worry about getting your healing to manifest or about when your healing will manifest, that worry will hinder your healing from coming. Am I telling you the truth today? And if worry can hinder healing from coming, it can also hinder healing from staying, even if a healing does manifest. Amen. Do you know there's people that get healed? I mean, a miracle from God, and they worry about whether they're going to stay healed. Now, there's no sense in that, because worry hinders the hand of God. Matter of fact, we've discovered in Scripture that worry is a sin, because everything that's not of faith is sin. So it's important that we stay submitted to God. Now, let me just share this with you. It's God's desire that we resist the devil, but as we are resisting him, it's important to capture the first thought that comes, or we can call it the first temptation that the devil sends to your mind. Now, I'm going to address a couple of particular things today as I get near the end of this teaching. Someone may say this, and I've heard people say this, and we'll talk more about this. They said, I naturally have sicknesses. I was born with it, and it's just natural. You know what? There's nothing natural about sicknesses. I mean, you know what? Life ought to be carefree, in peace, everything going great, but sickness comes, and people think that's just natural. It's just the way it is. Matter of fact, I heard someone say this. They had a heart condition and said, I just learned to live with it because I thought that's the way it was. I just had to live with it. There was nothing could be done. We were not born into this life and designed by God to have sicknesses. You say, well, what about babies that are born with defects? Well, don't you know that God can do a miracle in those babies with defects? Well, what if it's a brain issue? You think God can't heal the human brain? Come on, amen. So hear this. The natural posture for the believer is to be in faith. That's natural. Faith should feel natural. Fear should feel like sin. Can I say that again? Faith should feel natural and fear should feel like sin. Healing in health should feel natural. But every form of sickness should feel extremely wrong to you. I mean, how many of you have laid in bed sick, in pain, doubled up, and just thought, boy, this feels natural? That don't feel good. That's miserable. Being in faith should feel natural. And so you can get in faith over that. Let's look at it this way. When the first sniffle comes, how many know when we go through seasonal changes, some folks deal with sniffles. And immediately cast down the imagination or the argument about that sniffle, because the devil will tell you, you know what that is? That's the beginning of flu. And somebody will call you on the phone and say, did you hear? Many people are getting sick. This is flu season. It's just like somebody told us a couple of weeks ago. Did you know there is a bad epidemic of mosquitoes and the West Nile virus? And you know, I'm thinking in my mind, so what? No evil shall come near my dwelling. Psalm 91. He sends his angels to watch over me, to bear me up, to keep me, to prevent my foot from even dashing against a stone. I mean, if God cares about you tripping over a stone, surely He cares about mosquitoes coming to deliver some virus. Somebody told me the other day, said, I'm tired of these bugs invading my house. I just want to get rid of them. I got to spray them. I said, why don't you speak to them? I love what Charles Capps said years ago. Charles Capps was the first person I ever heard say this. He said, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 that we have authority over everything that creeps upon the earth. He said, that means we have authority over creeps. That's not talking about your neighbor now. But you have authority over those bugs. If you've got a bug problem infesting your home or your property, speak to them. Tell them, go somewhere else. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you. Well, let's look at this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, 5, and 6 from the New Living Translation, because I have something very wonderful to share with you about this. Now, let's watch this closely. We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, but mighty weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. I love that wording. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument. Why does he call arguments proud arguments? Why does he call it that? Because do you know when folks argue, you understand that pride is intertwined there? As a matter of fact, the reason why somebody could cause you to enter into an argument and have to be that, you know, we deal with this, sometimes if somebody says something and it just gets your goat, so to speak, do you know the best posture for you to have is to keep your mouth quiet? Why do you feel like you just have to respond to a negative comment? Well, pride. We're not talking about discussions, okay? We're talking about when somebody just has that spirit of argument on them. And he says, with these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas, and we teach them to obey Christ. And we will punish those who remained disobedient after the rest of you become loyal and obedient. Could I tell you that every time he mentions you, he's not talking about you necessarily. He's talking about your thoughts. Watch this with me. Verse 5 again. With these weapons we conquer their, talking about thoughts, their thoughts or their religious rebellious ideas. And we teach them our thoughts. We're talking about renewing our mind, training our thoughts to obey Christ. Verse 6. And we punish those thoughts who remain disobedient after the rest of you become loyal. After the rest of my thoughts. Do you know we have some thoughts that are obedient? Do you know we have some thoughts that are loyal? Do you know we have some thoughts that are rebellious? So there's a command to renew our mind because this is a lifetime venture while we are in this earth. Keep renewing your mind. That's why as a pastor, I constantly tell you, you know, be in the Word. And you may say, well, I don't have time to be in the Word. Well, can I just tell you a good report? When I drove 105 miles to St. Louis to work every day, I had time for the Word. I had time to pray. I had time to listen to teaching cassette tapes back then. I could jot down some notes on break because I was studying sermons in my mind. I've always been a multitasking type person in my mind. And I could do my blueprints and line out my guys for the afternoon. And I could also prepare my sermon for Sunday all in my mind. And just make a few notes. So I could do four or five things at once in my head. Well, the truth is we need to train our thoughts. If you keep saying, well, you know, my memory just don't work very good, then you're training your thoughts to say, every time it'll come right out of your mouth, my memory just don't work good anymore. Well, what do we do with Proverbs 10:7 that says the memory of the just is blessed? I know there's a twofold definition there. One being that the remembering the righteous is a blessing. They're a blessed people. But also, my thoughts are blessed. Everybody say, my thoughts are blessed. Say, my mind is blessed. Say, it's my mind. It's my God-given right to control my mind. I'm not going to let the devil control my mind with thoughts of lies, but I control my mind. See, God gave you that right. Did you know when the Bible said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind? That word sound mind in the Greek means to control your mind. You have the right, the authority, and are able to control your mind. So, verse 6 again, we will punish those thoughts who remain disobedient after the rest of our thoughts became loyal and obedient. The devil wants to argue with you in your thoughts as to why you should be sick. You ever had the devil tell you, you know, if you go ahead and call in sick, you can get a day off. After all, you just don't feel very good. How many of you ever had five things lined out for the next day and you woke up the next morning? I mean, that was doing the work of God. You woke up the next morning, it's like, man, I don't feel very good. I'm probably not going to get that done today. Well, go ahead and yield. Don't resist, and you won't get it done. Submit to God. Be under His authority. Humble yourself under God. And resist the devil, and he'll flee. So remember that it's just an argument to get you to agree with Him instead of agreeing with God and His Word. Now, this morning, let's sum this up. On the back side of your notes, I have 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to give you at least 3 reasons as we sum this up with 3 directives concerning resisting what the devil offers. Number one, let me talk to you about how to resist the devil. How to resist the devil. The Bible said to resist the devil. Here, I want to tell you how to resist the devil. A, capture the first thought or the first temptation the devil sends. Now, here's how this temptation can work. And this is really what I wanted to talk about earlier, but I'm going to say this because this has become, for some people, a very common thing. People will say, I naturally have allergies, hay fever, and etc. I just naturally have it. I was born with an allergy problem. How many know that every time the pollen rises and folks start sneezing, eyes start watering, you have an opportunity? Well, yeah, I got to go take some medicine, not knocking medicine, and I got to go get out of the pollen and go inside. Stay inside. I can't go out when pollen's high. Why? Well, I have allergies. It's just natural. It's just the way I was born. Let me just say it again. There's nothing natural about that. Matter of fact, that's very, very unnatural for the believer to have that. I've heard people tell me, you have a problem with allergies. Now, you know me. I'd have said, no, I don't. I don't have no allergy problem, and I don't. Never have, never will. All right, again, to the believer, faith should feel natural. I know I said it earlier, and fear should feel like sin. Matter of fact, I'm going to post that on my social medias. Healing and health should feel natural, and sickness should feel wrong. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm not feeling very well. Why did you say what's wrong with you? Because it's wrong. It feels wrong. Why don't we go around telling folks? I mean, how many know we tell folks when we don't feel good? Why don't we just go around telling folks when we're healed? When you feel good? Man, I feel great today. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I mean, praise God, I feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. B. casting down imaginations. So we're talking about how to resist the devil. First, capture the first thought. First thing that comes into your mind, well, you're getting sick, get a hold of that thought. Use the Word of God on it. B, cast down imaginations. Cast down every thought, every idea, or every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's Word. And be ready to punish those disobedient thoughts. How am I going to punish my thoughts? Well, I'm not going to get mad about it, but I'm going to take the Word of God and tell my thoughts what the Word of God says. The perfect example we have for that in Scripture would be Luke chapter 4, where Jesus was approached by the devil, by Satan, just after being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know what happened just prior to that? John the Baptist baptized him. And said, God sent the Holy Spirit and descended out of heaven like a dove and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. 40 days of being tempted of the devil, come out of the wilderness, and the devil tells him, if you're the Son of God. Now, I can't imitate the devil because I don't know what he sounds like. So I couldn't really get into that, you know. I've heard Joseph Prince try to imitate the devil and say, you know, any resemblance is purely coincidental. But the devil said, if you're the Son of God, did you know that in that scripture the devil left out beloved? God just said, this is my beloved Son, capital B, in whom I am well pleased. And the devil said, if you're the Son of God. He didn't say, if you're the beloved Son of God. He did not want to recognize the deity and the authority of Jesus Christ. And so you know the story from there. But that's a great example of how the enemy will come against your thoughts. And Jesus did what? He said, it is written, and he spoke the Word of God. Praise the Lord. All right, so capture the first thought. B, cast down imaginations. Punish those thoughts. Now keep in mind, this is not talking about people, but it's talking about our thoughts. And so the devil will argue with you, as I said earlier, telling you why you need to just accept this sickness, and he will tell you that, man, you can get a day off. You could go out of town. You could go on a vacation. Just call him for the week and tell him, I've got a 7-day virus and I can't come to work, and then go vacation. How many know that's a deceptive lie? Not just on the devil's part, but also on your part. The devil talked you into lying. So capture that thought. Is this all right this morning? So the bottom line is the devil does not want you to agree with God's Word. Number two, apply the Word to sickness. Apply the Word to sickness. In that, A, use the Word like you use medicine. Now, we talked about this Wednesday, and I read this passage of Scripture, but I need to go back to it again because I want to give you a Hebrew definition that is quite extensive. It says in Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 21, my son, give or pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. How many of you can recognize that this is a tall order? Do you know what else you can recognize about this? That God said it, so it's doable. God never gives us anything, any assignment, any command that we can't do. It's all doable. All right, let's look at one word, and that's the word health. Health literally, or the Hebrew says concretely, means a medicine. So if the word is medicine and I got a sickness that needs medicine, you can apply the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And so it means a medicine. It also means a cure. Man, I need a cure. It means a cure. It means deliverance. My body is racked with pain and I need a deliverance. I'm telling you, the Word of God works. You ever argued with pain before? I have. How do you argue? Use the Word of God. You ever had your thoughts just uncontrollably just moving about your head, and all of a sudden your mouth opened and you started talking those thoughts? I have said to myself, I said, thoughts, what are you doing? Stop that. And I give it some word. Say, Pastor, you're weird. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It also means medicine, cure, deliverance, as in a cure or curable. Your situation is curable with the Word. It's healing or healthy. It's a remedy. It's wholesome or wholesomeness. And the last word in the Hebrew definition is yielding. And so I wanted to take all of that and tell you that the word scriptures we read in the New Testament deal with yielding or submitting to God, but it also deals with resisting the devil and whatever you need will come. So a great Hebrew word. It also comes from that Hebrew word, the word rapha or rapha. And it means to mend by stitching. Now, we're not talking about something you do. We're talking about God's supernatural divine power. This word Rapha was first revealed in Scripture when God revealed His healing covenant in Exodus 15, verse 26. And He said, I am the God who healeth thee, or I am Rapha. And it means to mend by stitching. That is to cure, to cause to heal, or to heal. It means physician. It means to repair. And then there's that giant X there. It just means He'll rapha you. He'll doctor you. Thoroughly make you whole. Now that's the God we serve. Amen. Man, there's a lot of preaching right there in that definition. B, use the scriptures you know. The reason I put that second is because sometimes people will say, I really don't know the word. I just don't know. I can't remember scriptures. Well, don't confess that you can't remember scriptures, but again, confess Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the just is blessed. Now, let me just say this to you. Let's say, for example, you only know one verse. You know 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. If that's the one you know, then use that one. So we all here know scripture. Now, you may not know where it's found, but you might be able to quote it in a general sense. Use the Word of God. Also, use resources. Well, what resources do I have, Pastor? I don't have much. Well, first of all, probably everyone here has a Bible. Did you know that the most popular, best-selling book in the entire world is the best resource you can get? Get your Bible and look up healing scriptures. If you will go to your concordance, and that's that thing in the back that's got all them words, and you look up heal or healing, you can see a list of scriptures. Look those scriptures up. Amen. And so if you'll go to Joyce Meyer's website, she's got a booklet full of healing scriptures. And you can get Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland or some of those with CDs they'll give you for free with healing scriptures on them. So don't go without the word that applies to your need. What if you have a financial situation? Don't use a healing scripture. Use a money scripture. Someone said, well, preacher, now watch out, because you know the love of money is the root of all evil. So don't love money. Love God. Isn't that a simple solution? Just don't love money. Don't worship money. Love God. Worship God. All right? And so that's just an example. Number three, stand firm in faith, founded on the word you just applied. Now let's look at what we just talked about. We talked about how to resist the devil, number one. Number two, we talked about apply the word to the sickness. We did that last week. But the third one is extremely important. Stand firm in faith, founded on the word you just applied. A, confess the word. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, now watch out, Pastor, that's a salvation scripture. Well, you're right, and you're also wrong. It is a salvation scripture, but it's much more than that. When you believe in your heart, you believe the word in your heart, this is the Hebrew word, or the Greek word, cardia. It's the same word we get our English word, or Latin word, cardiac, talking about the heart, and it means the thoughts or feelings, the mind, and you confess or covenant with God, you acknowledge or confess or profess, as in confession is made, give thanks, thereby you are standing on that promise. So here's what happens. I prayed for healing. I spoke the word of God. I noticed 30 minutes later, nothing had changed. What do I do? I go right back to the same scripture, the same word. I might even add another one with it, and I declare the same thing. Body, you get in line in the name of Jesus. You are healed. Pain, you must leave in the name of Jesus. I have authority over you. I am submitted to God. I resist you, devil. Now get out of here. Take a hike. Don't talk nice. Someone told me, if I want the devil to leave, I just talk real nice to him. I thought, well, I don't know what doctrine you've got, but that's wrong. You don't have to be nice to the devil. Never pray for him. Never pray for his salvation because he is eternally lost. So if you apply the Word of God by confession, here's what you would do if you took 1 Peter 2:24 as I close this morning. By whose stripes you were healed. Were. Past tense, done. It's a past tense, present tense word. In Isaiah 53:5, it said, by whose stripes you are healed. It was a future tense prophetic word about what was coming for us. But here we have a present tense word. It works for in the now. And we would do this, for example, we would say, you would believe in your heart what the word says, and you would say with your mouth, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Now, if you were to apply Matthew 8:17, quoting Isaiah, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, then you would do this. You would believe in your heart. That's important, church. Don't be just running around saying words and doubting in your heart. You would believe in your heart and you would confess or covenant with God by saying, Jesus himself carried this sickness that is now in my body. He carried it in his body for me. Therefore, by his stripes, I am healed. You say, but what if I got to go run errands and take that with you and pray that as you go? What if another 30 minutes pass and I've still got the same pain? Do you know sometimes people argue because they want to win? The devil will argue with you because he wants to win. So what's wrong with you arguing with the Word of God, not against the Word of God, but using the Word of God against whatever thing you're facing? Argue against that infirmity. Here are the four nevers. I want to give you the four nevers. Number one, never give up. I want to tell you, you can't be defeated if you don't quit. You can't lose if you don't quit. People lose concerning their healing when they give up. People lose concerning their financial difficulties when they give up. Don't give up in faith. Don't become weary in your mind. Stay strong in your mind. But don't give up. Never give up. Number two, never blame God. Too many people, I remember when I went through what I did, I had a just standing in line to get to me and to tell me, God did this to you so he could process you. God trying to teach you something. There are too many people, I deal with this with the devotions I write, too many people that are saying, you know, I can't agree with that healing stuff. I believe that God puts sickness on us so he can teach us a lesson. You know what lesson you can learn out of being sick? You can learn how to be sick. I don't want to learn that lesson. I don't want to learn how to be sick. I learn how to just get comfortable with it and take it. Because after all, it's just natural. Nothing natural about it. So never blame God. Look at the scriptures and you will clearly see that the devil is responsible for affliction. Number three, never stop resisting the devil. How many knows this, that the devil will not stop messing with you? Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus, after he kept resisting him with the word, the devil finally departed for a season for a more opportune time. What that means is he was going to try to come find another weak area and hit Jesus again. So how many knows this? When you stand on the Word, sometimes you'll see everything straighten up and it's like, wow, life is great. And you stop resisting the devil and you start focusing on, well, how wonderful it is. And all of a sudden, here comes the enemy again. I wasn't ready. Capture the first thought. You know, after all, you're going under. You're never going to make it. Is that what the Bible says? No, the Bible says you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're blessed coming in, blessed going out. And you know what you ought to be saying? I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. You ought not be saying, I'm broke. I'm broke. Blue, how's that go? Blue despair and agony on me. Whoa. Misery. No, God doesn't want you miserable. But God wants you to fight. Never stop resisting the devil. Number four, never cease to submit to God so that you will be under the covering of authority, His authority structure in the earth. Those are four pretty good nevers. Never give up, never blame God, never stop resisting the devil, and never cease to submit to God. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah.